here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are picking the grass.
Here's another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, Rochester Lancers trainer and Wall of Famer, Joe Redcard Sirianni. WYSL sports director and Rochester Lancers historian, Andrew Battisti. The editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, Rochester Lancers reporter and Lancers Wall of Famer, Michael Lewis. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, the Rochester Lancers, Top Notch Monogramming, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Polano and Company, Italian American Sports Club of Rochester, Opera Bracelets, Favor Builders and Claridge Decorating Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Pet Mom Jewelry, and St. Padre Pio Chapel. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us. For full disclosure, this show was taped earlier this afternoon, so if anything happened in the world of soccer, such as Inter against Milan, we'll talk about that on next week's show. And we have a very busy show. We have not one, not two, but three special guests on our show this evening. In just a moment, we'll be joined by the general manager of Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, Casey Catlin. The team Flower City Union, the NISA 2023 champions, were honored by Rochester Mayor Malik Evans and County Executive Adam Bellow for their championship that was held last Friday. And we'll talk to Casey about that in the upcoming season, which is just around the corner. Then we'll go live to Turkey to speak with our Turkish soccer correspondent, Bob Turgut, about the story we've been following with legendary club Fenerbahce, the most successful club in Turkish soccer history, potentially dropping the sport due to a number of violent incidents that have happened throughout this season. We'll also welcome back Mr. Zero, Dick Howard from Toronto. We have the latest on Canadian soccer. And, of course, as always, FrontRowSoccer.com's Michael Lewis will have the U.S. Soccer Report. So it's a busy show tonight. Let's bring in the myth, the man, the legend himself, Joe Sirianni. How's it going, Joe?
Pretty good, Andrew. Thank you very much for having a beautiful radio show and doing all the things that you do. And I'm so proud that we are on Soccer Kick of the Grass talking about soccer. And we would like to thank all our sponsors for making this possible. Certainly, you know, I'm very elated that finally the city of Rochester has decided to honor the Flower City Club. And unfortunately, I was not able to be there, but I know that you were. So tell us a little bit what happened.
Well, I'll have our first special guest come in and give us all the details. He is the GM of Flower City Union in 1872, Casey Catlin. His appearance brought to you by Flower City. The 2024 season starts in just a matter of weeks, so get your season memberships. They're on sale now at flowercityunion.com. You don't want to miss any of the action for this coming season at the downtown soccer stadium for both the men and the women. Again, that's flowercityunion.com. Casey, thanks very much for being with us on the show, and congratulations on the big honor pronounced by the city and the county last week.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It was definitely an honor. It was awesome to be there in one of those beautiful historic downtown Rochester buildings. And yeah, I mean, it was just a great experience overall.
It was held at City Hall on Friday. And tell us about the event. Tell us about how it went and what it was like to have the mayor and the county executive honor Flower City Union.
Yeah, so we've been in touch with both the mayor's office and the county executive's office quite a bit this off season. Just working on different things that we can do together this upcoming season and beyond. I mean, this is a year-round operation. So the mayor's office reached out, and they really wanted to recognize the club. Of course, getting everyone's schedules together is pretty tough. So it got pushed off, and we ended up doing it in April. A lot of people were wondering why it got pushed off till this point. But now it's just great to do it right before our next season starts off. And, yeah. We weren't sure if County Executive Adam Bell was going to be able to make it, but he did. So it was just great to be recognized by both of them and April 19th, 2024 is officially Flower City Union Day.
That's fantastic. Joe, I know you have some questions for Casey.
This is Joe Suriani, and I'm very elated, and congratulations to the organization. Congratulations to the owner and Jimmy Paglia and and the whole staff, because you guys are running the operation as a first-class operation, and we hope that the city of Rochester, along with all the soccer people in Rochester, will support and pledge to buy season tickets, and tell us a little bit. So for the information, how much are the season tickets, and this way people know.
So we have three different tiers for our season tickets. We have our general admission are just $75. Our midfield are $125, and then we have as people that have been down to that downtown stadium know, there's 14 beautiful suites in that stadium. So we also have a public party suite season ticket, which is $199, and that just gets you access into a suite, climate-controlled indoor and outdoor seating. And then for the women's team, it's general admission for $30, midfield for $50, and then those public party suites for $80. And we're doing all sorts of different promotions where if it's a family ticket and they want to buy both teams, we'll discount that. We have youth season tickets available this year for the first time where they're just $25, and that's good for both the men's and the women's team. So we're definitely trying to do a lot more in the youth space with our camps and clinics that we have coming up, and then offering season tickets for just $25.
How many games will the Flower City Union team and the Borman team, how many games do they play?
So we currently have 5 league home games for the men and 4 home league games for the women, but we're working on a few different friendlies to get thrown in there. So we're working on about 3 friendlies to be added, 2 for the men and 1 for the women.
That's good,
fantastic.
Good thing.
I mentioned to Mark Washoe at the event. I said you should try to bring Como in because they're going to be in the U.S. anyway, and I know there'll be a lot of Italian fans who would love to see an Italian team come in here. It's been a long time since an Italian team has played in Rochester. I think the last one was a Regina back in like 1998 or 99. So who knows? We'll just have to see what happens.
They had Catanzaro too.
Yes, that's true as well. But Casey, you mentioned about the clinic. It's going to be a clinic held on Saturday, this coming Saturday, at the Dick's House of Sport in Victor at East U Mall. It's going to be just $10 for kids to register, and that's a beautiful facility there. I'm sure hopefully you'll get a lot of response from the youth in the area and hopefully sell some season tickets.
Yeah, no, Dick's they're a great partner of ours. We've been partnering with them every season, and we're just kind of ramping it up year after year, just trying to see what else we can do together. So we have this. We have a full week camp coming up in August down there as well. So it's just like you said, a beautiful spot, beautiful facility there, and we're excited to be partnering with them.
Absolutely.
Why don't you describe what's going to happen there?
So this one, with it being on a Saturday, I think it's 10 to 12 we're doing it. This one's a lot more just focused on just fun, meet some of the team. Of course, a bunch of our team is still away at college or out of town, but the ones that are in town, we'll have some of them down there. And, yeah, they'll just be going through some fun exercises with the youth kids that sign up. And then at the end, we'll just play a mini game with them and kick the ball around a bit.
Should be a lot of fun. Again, that's this Saturday at 10 o'clock at Dixon Eastview Mall. So go to flowercityunion.com or check out their Twitter feed. They have a link right to where you can sign up for that. And Casey, you mentioned about the players. I know that, as you said, a lot of them are still in college. They'll be coming in soon. So what is the schedule for the players to get in here and have some full-fledged practices with Jordan Sullivan? Because the first game is May 11th, and they're playing the best team in the league, Steel City, who were undefeated last year. So that's certainly going to be quite a way to start the season, bringing in the number one team from the division as a first home game.
Yeah, it's going to be a welcome challenge for sure. We, of course, with NCAA rules and, again, with a lot of the players being out of town, we'll start some trainings with the people in town that aren't barred by those NCAA rules and regulations. But May 1st, we'll really get into it with everyone that's local. And, I mean, we'll have about 10 days to get ready for the defending division champs. And then a week later, we get to head down there and play them in their place.
So how many players are from college are you expecting?
Probably just over half of our team are still college kids. We're really trying to develop more and more in the youth sphere now being in the NPSL. It's a great league for college players to kind of keep in shape for the summer, stay fit. And then for some of the older guys, it's just great exposure for them to be seen by higher tier clubs.
So one of the things with the schedule, and you mentioned about the friendlies coming up, so we don't know when those will be yet, but there's a big gap between the start of the league home season on May 11th. The next home game after that will not be until the 27th of June in the league. Was that something that the league set up, or did you guys request that, or how did that come about?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just how the scheduling worked out. We definitely don't love that gap in there, but the nice thing is the women at least have four home games in that middle stretch. So we've had quite a few people buying women's season tickets as well as men's. So if there's that large gap there and they're looking for more soccer, we have four women's games in that. But all of the friendlies that we're working on will fit right in that gap as well, just to close it up and shorten it.
Absolutely. So we'll mention the women. They start off on May 26th, that's the day before Memorial Day, so it's a holiday weekend, 2 p.m. against Erie, and then there'll be a game on the 14th, FC Berlin. The 26th, there'll be FC Buffalo, and that's the big game, the big rival for Rochester. And then there'll be a doubleheader, actually, on Sunday the 30th with Steel City playing the women, and the men will also be in action on that Sunday against Erie. So that Sunday's a big one. You got two games back-to-back.
Yeah, we did quite a few doubleheaders last year, and unfortunately with how the schedule's lined up, we only got one scheduled this year, but we'll definitely look to make that just a big event. We'll plan some events to be going on at the stadium in between the two games, so people that want to stick around, they have something to do, and they're not just kind of sitting there waiting through warm-ups and through everything. So we have some cool things planned for that day.
And Joe, I know you already have your season tickets and you got your press pass too, so I know you'll either be up with me in the press box or down in the seats watching the game close up.
I hope so.
And I'm looking forward to doing the broadcast again this year for Flower City Union in 1872. Hopefully the friendlies won't interfere with my vacation too much, but we'll see how what happens there. But Casey, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Again, congratulations on the award from the city and the county, and looking forward to the start of the season, just about 3.5 weeks away.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Can't wait
Thank
to see
you, Casey. Thank you. Casey Catlin, the general manager of Flower City Union 1872. Don't forget, get your season tickets by going to flowercityunion.com. Very reasonable, very affordable. Bring the family. It's going to be a great, great atmosphere for all the kids out there. $25. You can't go wrong. How can you go wrong? You get to see best players in the NPSL and the UWS right here in Rochester. Coming up next, we're going to go live to Turkey with Bob Turgut, our Turkish correspondent, on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 20 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Claridge Custom Designs and builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni. And the show was taped earlier this afternoon. And we're happy now to be joined all the way from the country of Turkey by our Turkish correspondent, Bob Turgut. And Bob's appearance brought to you by the Yakovangelo family of businesses, Faber Builders. If you're looking for a new home, don't buy used, buy new from Faber Builders. Website is faberbuilders.com or to call 889-4840. And then if you're looking to redecorate your home, your kitchen, your bath, your flooring, as you just heard in our commercial, Claridge Decorating Center is the place to go, 889-5800. And the website is claridgedecoratingcenter.com, center spelled the Canadian way, C-E-N-T-R-E. Bob, thanks for joining us on the show. We really appreciate you coming on. We've been talking a lot about Fenerbahce and the whole situation that's going on with them and the violence that's happened at some of their matches and them even considering dropping out of soccer. This is one of the premier clubs in all of Europe. They've been around for over 100 years. They've won 19 Turkish championships and played in Europe for many years. Tell us about what's going on with them, and are they going to play continue to play soccer?
Hi, Andrew. Joe. Let's start what happened just today about a couple minutes ago. Fenerbahce in the Super League match in Sivas, they just tied 2-2, and that means the gap on top between Galatasaray and Fenerbahce is 4 points. Now, pretty much, Galatasaray will probably end up winning the title as we go into the last 5 weekends in the Turkish Super League. As far as the Fenerbahce, you're talking about what happened. Yeah, it was the talk of the town in the world because with the U19 team when they played the Super Cup match. But that was, I think, I don't know why they did that, but I think that cost them. At least they were in the Conference League quarterfinals. They lost that match to Olympiacos, the Greek team. Now, right now, they're in the edge to lose the title this season. So things are not going too good for Fenerbahce.
Right. So one of the things that we talked about was there was an incident when they played one of their biggest rivals, Trabzonspor, and Fenerbahce ended up winning that match. But after the match, the fans invaded the pitch. They were attacking the players. They were attacking the refs. They were even attacking the police. And the club, Fenerbahce, was so... It was ridiculous. I mean, it seems like there's been a lot of incidents with them this year regarding fan violence against them. And that's why they made the unprecedented move of potentially dropping soccer. So what is happening with that? And how is Turkish soccer going to stop this violence?
Well, Turkish soccer, to be honest with you, it has been downhill. And as long as I've been doing Turkish football, Turkish soccer podcast, I know this has to be the worst year for Turkish soccer and the history of Turkish football. The reason why, as you remember, the referee was beaten by the team officials earlier in the season. And then one of the team owners pulled his team, and they forfeited the match. And then what happened, the Super Cup was going to be played in Saudi Arabia. And because of the politics, both teams they decided not to go on the field because founder of Turkish Republic, Atatürk, picture was going to be on uniforms in that because the Super Cup is for Atatürk. And the Saudi government did not want that, so they canceled that Super Cup. And then they decide to play that Super Cup in Turkey. Now, as far as going back to that match, that trouble match that happened in Trabzon, I think Trabzon fans, you have to give the credit. I think right there, Trabzon fans were outraged. And what they did, it was not good. And some of the Fenerbahce players, what they did was not either so good because I know they had to protect themselves, but if someone was on the ground and kicking that person that came on the pitch, it was not good. So the suspensions out of those out of that match, it's just a joke. I mean, right now Trabzonspor is going to be playing their home matches without the fans the rest of the season, next five games. That is not very strong or a penalty.
No,
so as far as the players that was kicked, and that, you know, to all, one thing, the Turkish Football Federation president has been so weak. That is why it's happening, or what is happening this season with the Turkish football.
Joe, I know that one of your favorite players, Bonucci, plays for Fenerbahce, along with Edin Dzeko and Bassuayi, who used to play for Chelsea. So this team has got a lot of great players. And I know we always talk about, we hate to see the violence getting involved in soccer, especially, you know, when you see the players and the fans and the police even getting involved. So what are your thoughts?
My thoughts, Andrew, is that The league is going to have to impose some sort of the protection. The police has got to do their job, I guess, and the fans need to be restrained. Maybe they got to control the crowd. They don't let those people in, and the supporters that are making all this problem, much like they do in other countries, that they see who these people are. And they bar them from coming into the stadium.
I know. I agree with Joe
because the police didn't do their job on that day. As far as Bonucci, I think he, as you've seen in the last match, when they Fenerbahce played Europa Conference League match in penalty kick, he was the last guy to kick that penalty kick. If he would have scored that penalty kick, I think Fenerbahce could have won that match against Olympiacos, and he was for sure that they trusted him, but he took a bad turn and missed that, and give that ball to a goalkeeper.
It happens to everybody, Bob. And what this really is sad is that this is one of the few leagues in Europe, though, that actually is a race for the title, because most of the other leagues other than England, the champion's pretty much already decided, if it hasn't already been decided. But this has been an incredible race between the Galatasaray, who played right here in Rochester in 1997 against the Rhinos. I remember that match very well. There was thousands of fans came from Canada to see the match.
Right.
And they're 30 points. Yeah. Both those teams are 30 points ahead of everybody else. And unfortunately today, say Fenerbahce tied, and I saw a videotape of the penalty in the 94th minute. It wasn't even a penalty. It wasn't even close. The guy just fell over, and the ref gave him a penalty. And there was 15 minutes of stoppage time in the second half. But
right. It's incredible.
Crazy.
That between the Turkish Football Federation and Turkish referees, to be honest with you, for the next six weekends, they have foreign VAR system referees, officials, came to Turkey to officiate the VAR system. Now, in this match, the VAR system officials were from Germany. Now, how could it is unbelievable. As you said, the penalty kick, I watched it too. It did not look like it was a penalty kick.
No,
but there's something, you know, in Europe, in any league, this betting is a big problem for European soccer. And I think, I'm not going to blame anybody, but I could tell this betting is hurting the football in Europe in general, especially in Turkey.
Yep. Well, the gap now is 4 points, like you said, between Galatasaray and Fenerbahce. They do play each other the second to last weekend of the season. So if Galatasaray
right.
slips up anywhere before that match, Fenerbahce could still win the title if they win at the Galatasaray, which will be... I just hope that match is not marred by any controversy or any violence, because...
Well, I think, you know what? That match is going to be probably the match that... I don't know. I hope nothing will happen, but that's going to be a it's going to be a very tough match. But the 4 points right now, Galatasaray is one step ahead of Fenerbahce, and they're probably close to capturing the title. Speaking of 1997, Galatasaray team coming to Rochester Rhinos and playing against the Rochester Rhinos. That was when my older son, Polcom, became a Galatasaray fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
a
lot
amazing.
Of kids at that. And Icardi, right now, Icardi is the name that is bringing a lot of young kids to be a Galatasaray fan, because the Argentinian player, Icardi, so far he scored 20 goals and 42 goals in two seasons. Right now,
wow.
He's tied with Dzeko from Fenerbahce team in the leading goal scorer.
Unbelievable. Joe, I remember that game so well. I know you were at that game too. Boy,
yes.
what an atmosphere that was. I'd love
right.
to see that again in Rochester someday.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for being with us on the show. I know you're going to be coming back to the U.S. Tomorrow, so have a safe trip, and we'll definitely talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much, Joe and Andrew. We'll see you. Thanks. Have a good night.
We'll see you at the stadium.
Thank you, Bob. Bob Turgut, live from Turkey on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. We'll go from Turkey to Canada next. We'll be joined by our good friend and former co-host of the show, Mr. Zero Dick Howard, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Your local sports leader. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 W221 CL Rochester, FM 95.5 W238 DE Spencerport.
An experienced professional with more than 20 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Stand by,
welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni, and we're very happy to be welcoming back to our show our good friend Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, live from Toronto to talk about Canadian soccer. And Dick's appearance is brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates. Number to call is 328-3382 to make an appointment. The office is open Monday to Thursday, 8 to 5. And Joe, I know you went to see Dr. Oliva. Why don't you tell us how it went?
Well, let me tell you, I had a couple of cavities that need to be fixed. I went in. I was greeted with a lot of courtesy. My wait was not long, maybe 5 minutes, not even. Then I got in, sat in the chair. This beautiful lady, took care of me. And then, the magic of Dr. Olivo, give me he asked me if I wanted Ovechkin, and I said, yeah, my name is not Andrew. So he gave me Ovechkin, and after that, he fixed me all up, and in a matter of a half an hour, I was out of there.
Fantastic, so, yep. I'll be going to see him next Monday, so I can give a report on my visit next Monday. I'm going to get my teeth clean. So, again, Dr. Olivo, if you're looking for a new dentist or if you haven't been to the dentist for a long time, go see Dr. Olivo. Take care of everybody from seasoned citizens like Mr. Sirianni all the way down to youngsters. And the website, if you want to check it out, is davidolivodmd.com. Dick, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time. We're so happy that you're with us.
Too long, guys. I've been thinking of you, and obviously with some of the results coming to Juventus and Chelsea, also impact on the matter. But no, it's great to be back and report on Canadian soccer. A lot of things happening in Canada. And one thing that
sure
we probably won't get to mention was the new General Secretary, Chief Executive Officer, Kevin Blue from the States. Very impressive start. He had several good press conferences, and that side of the situation in Canada is going to start improving. Now they've got to do it on the playing field, and they've got some tough games, haven't they, coming up?
Boy, a big stage. Canadian national teams are going to be in the spotlight in this summer, starting with the men in the Copa America being held here in the United States.
Who was going to play the first game?
And then they have they get to play the world champions, Argentina, with Lionel Messi. The game we played in Atlanta on June 20th. And you can expect a sellout crowd for that one, Dick. It's going to be a real test for the Canadian men going against the best team in the world.
Well, Evan, sometimes you can raise the occasion with those kind of games when you're playing against an opponent that you're not expected to beat. But given their record and very much a home crowd, it's going to be tough for Mauro Biello's boys. And the key thing, of course, now is that Mauro Biello, who you know well from his time in Rochester, is continuing as the interim head coach. No word on who's in the running to take over from him, but I would let him go through this tough games and make the assessment with a lot of thought in the future. But it's going to be very tough for Mauro. But I've been very impressed with what he's done, and I wish him well in the games.
Yeah, Joe, aren't we lucky we had Mauro Biello here in Rochester for that one season where he won the U.S. Open Cup. What a class act he is, and I know we're very happy. We get to see him on the World Cup draw show on ABC. He was talking about the Canadian national team, and Joe, I know that for being Paisans, I know we're very happy for Mauro.
That's for sure. That is for sure. He's a class player, a class man besides that. It's not one of those
tough games, but he's got the Copa America, which is going to be tough. But two friendly games of interest to play in the Netherlands on June the 5th and Les Bleus, France, on June the 19th. So they're games leading into the tournament and chance to get the team together. And well, it'll be interesting to see the choices. The one that I'm looking at closely is the goalkeeping position, because Milan Borjan, I think, brings very much an experience to the team over the years. And I'd hate to see him left out. I think he is the best choice, even though his rival is playing with Portland now. I still rate Milan Borjan as our best goalkeeper, and I hope that he's selected by Mauro to be in the squad. We shall see.
Maxime Crépeau is the other goalie. He played right here in Rochester back in the day for the Montreal's second team when they played against the Rhinos. So a lot of connection there, obviously. And the Canadians have to also play two other South American teams. They're going to be taking on Peru on June 25th in Kansas City and Chile in Orlando on June 29th. So it's a tough road, but we'll hopefully see Canada get through to the next round. It's going to be exciting. Joe, I know we're looking forward to the Copa America with so many great teams, and it's going to be right here in the U.S.
Very well, the one thing with Canada, of course, is there's hopes that the women's team, the gold medalist in the last Olympics, are going to be raising their game. And two tremendous games against the States. What do you make about the first game, Joe? The puddle to water and the playing conditions. The game has got to be called off, but they persisted and finished the game. But it was close, and I was very impressed with the performance of the Canadian team in the two games against what is always a strong U.S. team, of course.
You know, Dick, Canadian soccer has grown so much, you know, from, you know, a few years ago, and a lot of compliments. And a lot of good players have been developed, and the whole thing is really marvelous on how, you know, things are happening in Canada pertaining to soccer and the whole nation, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting time. The Canadian Premiership is underway, and the usual figure in the run-in, and that's Merck Forge, of course, from Hamilton, always strong. Pacific and Vancouver are going to be strong out west, and the team in Calgary is also going to be a contender. But that's just started a couple of weeks ago, and there's also moves to have a women's professional league in Canada. Six teams have put forward their plans and the proposals to the Canadian Soccer Association. Diana Matheson, the Pocket Rocket, the little midfield player, is in charge and doing a great job in putting the league format together, and they hope to be able to announce the teams later on this year and start play next year. So that's positive that's happening.
It is, because that's one thing that there's no Canadian teams in the NWSL, unlike MLS, so it's something that certainly I think the Canadian fans certainly will support the women's league. They have such great women's tradition with, of course, Christine Sinclair and now Adriana Leone, formerly of the Western New York Flash, I have to say that as well, who's now the Talis woman for the Canadian women. But hopefully that'll happen. I'm sure hopefully there'll be a team in Toronto, Dick, that you can watch.
I think there's going to be a team in Toronto, yeah. But they'll announce it later on this summer with who the six teams are. But you've also, of course, got the MLS. And John Herdman had a great start, great run at the beginning of the season, got into a slump, lost three games badly, and bounced back last weekend against New England. But John will have some tough games, but he's a fine coach, and I know that he's got things planned for the future. So despite the upsets in the beginning, he kept his faith with the team, and he's not been helped, of course, with Inzaghi, and various other key players have been injured.
And it always hurts when that happens. Toronto sitting in fifth place right now in the East. Montreal sitting in 10th. And probably the best team is Vancouver, sitting in second place in the West behind the LA Galaxy. And they won in Seattle 2-0 over the weekend. That's always a huge game.
They beat Toronto FC 4-0 as well, which is quite the upset.
So lots of things happen in Canadian soccer, Dick. And we'll obviously be watching and... by the way, I also want to mention about the Olympics. The Olympic team will be playing the host country, France, which obviously would be a very tough opponent, Colombia, and New Zealand. And the Canadians have a better draw than the U.S., certainly. The U.S. has Germany and Australia in their group, and only the top two teams go through. So, I don't know. It's going to be a challenge. But the Olympics is always a challenge because you have a shortened time frame to play games. You also have a smaller roster than you do in international matches, so it's very tough to win the Olympics. And Canada did a great job 4 years ago, and certainly they'll be looking to defend that championship in France in the end of July, early August.
Yes, it's going to be great. It's going to be so much soccer on TV. It's just great, Joe, isn't it? We always find places to go and watch games, and I don't know if today is the Milan Derby. I don't know if the new signing Tejan Buchanan, the Canadian, is probably on the bench for that game, but he's got a good future for him ahead in respect of playing for Inter Milan. And then Fonzie, what's going to happen to Fonzie? There's talk of him going to Real Madrid. No final words on that, but lots of movement, lots of quality players being developed, as you mentioned earlier. And you're very kind to mention that. The quality of Canadian players is improving all the time, male and female.
And Bayern's in the semifinals against Real Madrid in the Champions League, so we're seeing Alfonso Davis in that action.
Yeah, well, that'd be great.
Yes, certainly will afford. I know, Joe, that where we were watching our teams, and it wasn't so good for Juventus or Chelsea over the weekend, but hey, we've got to support
Chelsea
our clubs no matter
my
what.
My team, and what a result, 6-0 against Everton, but the Blues bounced back, won 2-0 the other day. So they're getting the things in order, but that game against Chelsea was just an embarrassment.
Yeah, then Chelsea embarrassed themselves in the FA Cup semifinal, so they just never know. But Joe, I know Juve's are still up in third place. They'll be back in Europe next season, so I know you're very happy about that.
Well, let me tell you, but the stroke of the luck, they were able to tie the game against Cagliari. But I think the Juventus problem had related a lot with the coach. So the end of the contract is coming, and probably we're going to see a new coach for Juventus soon.
Yeah, I would think so. And Porticino, I thought he might have saved his job if he had gotten to the final of the FA Cup, but unfortunately, they stunk up the joint against Manchester City. But they still have a chance to get into Europe. They have a chance to get into sixth place. They're unbeaten in the last eight league games. So you never know. But it was a quite a weekend of soccer with the Real Madrid winning at the death. Leverkusen in the 97th minute tying Dortmund, so they keep their 45-game unbeaten streak going. And then, of course, that FA Cup semifinal yesterday. Oh, my goodness, what a match that
just
was.
Great, isn't it?
Haji Wright, our U.S. international, tying the game, sending it in extra time, and then nearly winning it, but it was called back for a deserved offside, I have to say. The VAR got that one right. But I don't know, Dick. Everton got the benefit of VAR. Nottingham Forest was up in arms
times
after that match.
Yeah, it's lots of controversy with that, with the decisions that were made on the PKs. So I tell you, how can one say, nerve-wracking time for fans of Everton Football Club, because going into the new stadium next year, they don't want to do it in the Premiership out of it, and they're playing in the league below.
Yeah.
They've got
to get
back and stay in the Premiership, that's for sure.
Let's hope so. Dick, thanks so much for being with us, as always. Thank you for coming on this week. And
always a pleasure, guys.
Again,
your teeth are going well, Joe. Good luck, Andrew. And nice
thanks
chat
so
to
much,
Bob
friend.
Before the start of the show. Keep up the good work,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dick. Dick Howard, live from Toronto on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. We'll be back with Michael Lewis from FrontRowSoccer.com and the U.S. Soccer Report on WYSL and live on the web at SoccerIsTheKickInTheGrass.com.
Keep the ball rolling, keep the ball rolling. Girl, the name of the game is love. For the
top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé. Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 20 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Let's face it, sometimes local is just better. Locally grown, locally sourced. Shop local. At Allstate, Agent Vincenzo Scalo is just that, a local. Allstate, are you in good hands?
Call Allstate Agent Vincenzo Scalo, 381-3530, and see how much you can save. Two locations, 835 Fairport Road in East Rochester and 919 Winton Road South in Rochester.
Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
And Michael's segment brought to you by Pet Mom Jewelry. Mother's Day is just around the corner. If you have a woman in your life, or if you have a, yourself are a pet mom and your dog or cat, or the main one, Pet Mom Jewelry will take care of you and have, they have jewelry that you can have designed that looks, that where the colors of the bracelet look just like the colors of your pet, and there's special charms you can get as well. Custom made. Each piece is custom made for you to have your pet with you on your wrist all at all times. So, and also, it's always, so if you've lost your pet recently, it's a great remembrance of your beloved fur baby. So again, the website is petmomjewelry.com. Michael, good evening and happy Passover.
Thank you very much, and good evening to you as well.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Joe.
Nice
how
to
are
have you?
You?
I'm okay.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the Red Bulls. How about the Red Bulls? They're still right up near the top of the Eastern Division. They have a game in hand, and they're 2 points behind Inter Miami, but they dropped points at the very last minute against LAFC on the left coast, and a last-minute goal from Dennis Boanga with a 2-2 draw. But certainly Red Bulls are doing very well so far this season.
Yeah, there are, I guess, two ways of looking at the game. Yes, they did drop 2 points, but it's at a very difficult place to play. LAFC is not an easy team to beat at home, so anytime you get a point on the road, especially on the left coast, as you said, that's a very, very big deal. It's interesting. Even though he did not receive an assist, but John Tolkien, the Red Bulls left back, initiated both goals off of corner kicks. Obviously, the ball was touched by either the opposite. Well, the first goal was an own goal, and you don't get an assist on an own goal, at least not in this league. And the second one, I think an LA player touched the ball, but they both resulted in goals. Something to remember that sometimes statistics can be misleading here or there, because to me, John Tolkien gets two unofficial assists. But, you know, all things considered, like I said, 1 point on the road in L.A., I'll take it. Thank you.
Joe?
Well, one of the things that really the new, I want you to talk a little bit, Mike, about the new stadium being built and who are the tenants.
The new stadium in New York?
Yes, the NYCFC.
Yeah, NYCFC. It's going to be right next to Citi Field, literally across the street from it. You know, it's supposed to open up in 2027. Originally, they wanted it for the World Cup, but sometimes you don't always get what you want, particularly with construction in New York City. Although things have gone, all things considered, very smoothly, getting things approved by the New York City various departments, which is kind of surprising because we all know, at least I know, how slow things can go down here. But looking forward to the new stadium. No soccer team worth its salt, no soccer team in MLS should be playing in a baseball stadium at all. And ironically, as it turns out, NYCFC has played at not one but two baseball parks this year, at Yankee Stadium, their first home, and at Citi Field, which they wound up recording a 2-0 win this past weekend against DC United, and I think it might have been their best game of the year. They looked really, really dangerous in that match.
If they got a number of home games coming up. They're unbeaten in the last three are the citizens. They will host Charlotte on Saturday, going back to the house that Ruth built, Yankee Stadium, on the weekend. At the same time, the Red Bulls will be hosting Vancouver. We just talked with Dick Howard about, who are sitting up in second place in the West. That should be a very good game, Michael, between the two of the best teams in MLS this season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't like blowouts. They're not fun to watch. I get bored during them. And the Red Bulls are a rejuvenated team this year under head coach Sandro Schwartz. You know, they've added a few players. They didn't reinvent soccer or did not add that many new players, although Emil Forsberg, who, by the way, scored the second goal for the Red Bulls against L.A., has been a force in the midfield and has been a big reason why the team has been accruing points. But looking forward to watching them play Vancouver on Saturday.
It should be a great game. Red Bulls are currently ranked number one in the ESPN rankings ahead of Philadelphia Union. Vancouver sits at number three, so it's going to be a great matchup. And interestingly enough, the team with the most points right now, Inter Miami, is only ranked fifth. And I think they're doing that because it is the Inter Miami with Messi is probably first, and Inter Miami without Messi is probably 10th or 11th. He had two goals and assisted on Busquets' goal, and they beat Nashville 3-1. So, I mean, Messi is just playing incredibly. And you got to remember, he's like in his late 30s, and he's still doing what he does, and he's still a key part of the Argentinian national team who will play in the Copa America.
The whole thing is making sure he remains healthy. Obviously, he had a hamstring issue that kept him out of several games, and we saw, let's put it this way, Inter Miami was ordinary without him. They had their moments, but still not the same. With him in the lineup, he produces magic, not just for himself but for his teammates. I always claim that he is more dangerous setting up teammates than he is necessarily scoring goals. I'm not putting down his goal-scoring ability, but his vision is second to none in the game. And I think that's one reason why he's still playing at a high level. He sees the game differently. I think in his brain, the game slows down. I'd love to talk to him about his personal soccer tactics. Probably will never get an opportunity to, but definitely one of the all-time greats.
And Joe, I know you like him because he's vertically challenged.
That's funny because I think if you really look at the best players that we know, the guys that are not big in stature, but they're close to, like the Carlos Betadiri, you know, and most of the players, that I think they're great and score a lot of goals and help the team, the people, a player the like of a Baggio and Lionel Messi.
Yep, it's anybody of any size can play this game. That's one of the wonderful things about it. We got the CONCACAF Champions League first leg happening this week. The all Mexican semifinal will be America against Pachuca. Their first leg is tomorrow at 10:15, and then the last hope for MLS, the Columbus Crew, the MLS champions, will take on Monterey. It'll be 8:15, and we watch it on Fox Sports 1. Michael, what do you think the chances are for Columbus against Monterey?
I would say 50-50. Let's face it, playing the first game at home, they have to hold Monterey scoreless, because of goals being double, away goals being double. They give up one, two goals and don't score any at all. It's going to be difficult in Monterey, maybe next to impossible. Big thing is clean sheet for Columbus and goalkeeper Pat Schulte.
So they'll be coming up again Tuesday or Wednesday, and then the second leg will be, I believe, next week. And then they'll determine who will be the finalists. And hopefully we'll see Columbus Crew getting their opportunity to play for the CONCACAF Championship, which will be taking place in May. And lastly, Michael, the U.S. futsal team, who have done fairly well in recent years, unfortunately will not be going to the World Cup. They only were able to finish third in their group, and they were knocked out by Panama in the quarterfinals. So a number of those players play in the Major Arena Soccer League. Frank Tayu plays for the Utica City. And unfortunately, though, they could not get the job done down in El Salvador.
Yeah, a couple players play for Utica City beside Frank, and then Milton DeAndre, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. It was a gamble because Utica was in the middle of the MASL playoffs. They were eliminated by Kansas City, which, by the way, Kansas City hosts Milwaukee Wave in the second game of their Eastern Division final series tonight. The winner will play the Chihuahua Savage in the Chihuahua Savage in the MASL finals. Scheduled to be determined, but very, very big game on the schedule tonight.
It is, and the Milwaukee features former Rochester Lancer Will the Wall Bonahane, and of course former Rochester Rhinos captain Tony Walls. So we'll certainly be looking out for that. And we'll hopefully get Greg Suddy on our show soon to talk about the MASL. They have a much longer season than MASL 2 does, that's for sure. But, Michael, we appreciate you coming on the show on your holiday today. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, listen, great talking to you guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Lewis, live from New York on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Go to frontrowsoccer.com. See all the latest news from U.S. Soccer and, of course, all the Rochester teams as well. FrontRowSoccer.com, purveyor Michael Lewis. Thanks to Casey Catlin from Flower City Union for joining us, the general manager of the team. And thanks to Mark Washoe, Jordan Sullivan as well. Get your season tickets for Flower City Union and Flower City 1872 at FlowerCityUnion.com. Thanks also to Bob Turgut joining us from Turkey and Dick Howard from Canada. This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni and Bob D'Angelo at WYSL. We'll be back live next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is the Kick in the Grass here on WYSL and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com. Good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, the Rochester Lancers, top-notch monogramming, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Polano and Company, Italian American Sports Club of Rochester, Opera Bracelets, Faber Builders and Claridge Decorating Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scovo, Pet Mom Jewelry, and St. Padre Pio Chapel. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.